had in most of the computers I used in those days.
Well, that's what they're saying nowadays. Even in your greeting cards. When you open that up and how they'll play those little tunes every time. That's more computing power than existed back then.
Yep. Friend of ours moved, and as they were moving, she started hearing a Christmas song. And it made her crazy. Through the it was a card in a box. It somehow got shuffled, some button pushed, something. The whole time they were moving, this thing sang to her, sang to her. They get to the new house. She unpacks. She doesn't find it. It dies. The battery died before she found it. She found a box of Christmas cards. She doesn't really know if it was that one.
Oh, geez.
But, yeah, that was it. 14 years on the air. Our actual start date was the 3rd of August. And 14 years ago, and somewhere along the line, we started on WXXI, which is a local public radio station, and God bless them. They said, we don't know if this will go anywhere, but here you go. Bob Smith and I sat down in front of a microphone, opened it up, and said, we're here to take your computer questions, and we had no idea if anybody was going to call in. But you know what? 10 seconds later, the phone started ringing, and they haven't stopped yet.
Not that many people had computers at home yet.
Well, that's exactly right. We thought, this is just, you know, it'll be fun for a couple of weeks, and we'll be done. But
that's why I wanted to bring it up, because we are now, we just started the 14th year.
Right.
Starting the 14th year.
No, we're starting the 5th.
Well, last
we
Saturday,
finished
though, we
14
hadn't,
years.
Right.
It was our last show of our 14th year.
Right. And we hadn't started into working on our last year, our last week, we hadn't started into working on our 15th year.
Right. And now we have.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And that's why I wanted to bring this all up.
Thank you so much. Dave doesn't do math well. Thank God he's a hardware guy.
I figured.
We'll come back and reminisce some more while we do some remedial math with Dave. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and Meenik Francesco on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Hey, here's that file you wanted, Lisa.
Thanks, Rick. Hey, you've attended singles events at Rochester Info Courses, haven't you?
Yeah, several. They're a lot of fun, and I've met some great people. Why?
I saw this ad for their Moonlight May Single Mingle, and I was thinking of going.
Oh, yeah, at Longacre Farms. I'm going with a bunch of my friends.
I see here that everyone will be mingling in the Big Red Barn, and then teams of singles will navigate the amazing maze under the full moon. Do you think there'll be a lot of quality people to meet there?
Definitely. Why do you think I'm going?
Good point. I guess I'll see you guys there.
Get lost with Rochester Info Courses and hundreds of area singles under a full moon at Longacre Farms. Mark your calendar for August 9th from 6:30 to 11:30 p.m. Tickets are available in advance for $20 by calling 585-256-1960 or pay $25 at the door. Visit www.infocourses.com for more information. That's the Moonlight Maze Single Mingle. Call 256-1960 to order tickets in advance or visit www.infocourses.com for more information.
Sponsored in part by Flaherty's in Macedon.
Hello there, this is Bruce Williams. Now let's face it, there are all kinds of people out there calling themselves financial planners, but check their credentials. I want you to make the right choice. My choice, Mike Kazakis. Why? Because I know Mike. I know he speaks the language that you can understand. Hey, I can understand. He has the credentials. He knows his craft. Mike is a senior vice president of Morgan Stanley Dean Witter and a certified financial planner. He's been a trusted name in the Rochester community for over 20 years. And you've heard his financial comments on radio and TV. Mike can help you make decisions, decisions that affect your lifetime. And he'll give you ideas to reduce your taxes if you need financial direction. Mike Kazakis is your guy. Line yourself up with Mike. Get the information. Work from a position of strength.
You can call Mike at 243-2454. That's 243-2454. Call Mike Kazakis, 243-2454. Morgan Stanley, member SIPC.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, sildenafil citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long, itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra, and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
Visa presents the joys of summer.
Summertime, when all you need to enjoy the day is a wide sandy beach and a good book and some sunscreen. And, of course, a sun visor and drinks and some snacks. You can't forget those. Oh, and sunglasses and those nifty beach sandals and a beach towel, maybe an inflatable raft. But mostly, a wide sandy beach, and a good book. What helps make this perfect day possible? Visa Check Card, a great way to buy everything you need to enjoy a perfect summer day. Visa Check Card, it's everywhere you want to be this summer.
Soundbites, America's longest-running computer radio show, is brought to you by the Alleman K Learning Center, MicroWorks Direct Computers, Roadrunner Business Class, and Green Shield Computer Services. 50,000 watts. Huh. I wonder how many gigabytes that would translate to. Welcome back to Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Here's Nick Francesco.
Welcome back. I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And we were reminiscing about when Soundbites started. It was an interesting time back then. We did start on the 3rd of August. Sometime over the years, Bob Smith, who was the host of the show then, God bless Bob, a great guy, smartest human being I've ever met in my life, brilliant man. But somewhere along the line, he got the idea that we had started on Labor Day weekend.
Well, it was a holiday, probably, you know.
Well, I think he got confused with the nearly annual Labor Day Drinkathon and Talent Show, which is a party I have every year, which we hold somewhere around Labor Day, which is why it's nearly annual. Yeah. It should really be the nearly annual, nearly Labor Day Drinkathon and Talent Show. But we hold that every year, and apparently Bob got confused and thought that was some sort of Soundbites party.
It was just another reason to party.
Just another reason, and the sight of Nick and his ukulele.
No, banjo.
Banjo, that's right.
Yes.
Banjo. But I will tell you, one of my greatest memories on earth is playing in the dark and not being able to see the music, a bunch of us gathered around. Bob Smith holding a lamp made out of a bust of Mozart. And singing along with
you
us.
You got pictures of that?
I don't know. I'll have to go back.
Aww.
And that's a
that
beautiful
would be a good
memory.
Kodak moment.
At any rate, so we've been doing the show for 14 years. A couple of years ago, we made the move over to Wham. It was very hard to leave XXI, but it was a necessary thing, and we're happy to be here.
The people that we're reaching now through Wham is unbelievable.
It's phenomenal.
What? We've been getting up to Thousand Islands, down to, you know, over to Buffalo. It's quite often, you know, we get calls from Buffalo now. Alberta, Canada?
Yeah.
Or, no, Calvary.
Calvary.
One gentleman from Calvary that called in.
That's right.
It's unbelievable, the listening audience that we reach now.
And we are honored that each and every one of you takes time out
yes.
from your precious Saturdays to listen to us babble incoherently on many topics.
I had another gentleman tell me how
he
literally plans his Saturdays around his Saturday. What's so funny?
I wasn't listening to you.
That's what's so funny.
He plans his Saturdays.
Literally, plans his Saturday. He says, if the wife wants to do this, I say, no, sorry. Unless we can take the radio with us.
Yeah.
He doesn't understand half of it, he says, but he says he has a good time listening.
I have a friend.
Just like
who,
I wasn't, evidently.
Yeah, exactly. It's all right. It doesn't matter. We're going to quickly hit the news now.
Well, that's what I was trying to do.
I know. I see. We're going to. It's a segue. Get it. And they're really they only need two wheels. So go ahead, Steve's doing whatever he's doing. We'll talk about that in a minute.
Yeah, we'll go in.
But let Dave read the news.
For all you folks, and there's literally millions, even beyond this reaching. Audience of AOL users. Well, you folks better get ready because AOL 9.0 update is coming out, and they're trying to keep up with the Joneses, you know, like MSN and Yahoo and all the rest. And AOL is planning on putting in stiffer spamming control, so you can literally block all that spam that's coming in. I mean, the minute you sign on to AOL, the next day you can have, you know, 200-300 email messages in there, and you hadn't even really surfed that much. But they're also going to put in blocking of pop-ups, more firewall control. I mean, they're just going to have more of a look to it.
Yep.
I don't know how much more you can do to it. I mean, it's so graphical now.
Well, that's
what a lot of folks like and hate to literally move from, say, AOL to MSN or Internet Explorer. They're so used to AOL because that's what they started out with.
Everything
and you
all
can
in
get
one.
Right. Thousands of hours free before you even had to start paying and playing around while you learn. That was a good way to...
Notice they've gone down to 1080 hours.
But you have to use it within 45 days.
Yeah.
Yeah, and but it used to be like 12. The highest they ever got was 1,100 hours. You had to use it in a month.
Calendar month. So yeah. If you signed up on the 28th, you got 2 days.
Right, until somebody pointed out that there aren't 1,100 hours in February. And so, and so that caused a small problem.
Yep.
One of the other things that they're touting is better control for parents on the AOL for kids, teens, and even Latinos. They're adding in Spanish-speaking U.S. Residents. AOL is developing the software to better work with them in interpreting things and saying things in Spanish. Plus, along, you know, controlling where your kids are going to go, what set websites they can go to and everything else. You can literally change it from little kids to versus teenagers versus, you know, additional adults.
The other thing they're doing is they're incorporating QuickTime into the AOL player, so it won't be a separate install anymore.
Right.
And basically what that means is that it's going to have all the different media content, so you never get that, you know, broken plug-in link, which is pretty slick.
It is nice. That is nice. So for those of you who are on AOL, prepare to update.
Yeah. Hopefully this one goes easy because a lot of folks had issue with 8.0.
Yeah, maybe you don't want to be first.
You can be the pioneer. You have the arrows in your back.
That's what Adam Osborne said. All right, Steve.
I had an interesting
announcement. Anchors away.
Anchors away, yeah. I had an interesting announcement in the Mac community this week. A company called TerraSoft Solutions, which is a Linux distributor, is building Apple X serves with their Yellow Dog Linux on it and selling it to the Navy. 260 X serves are being delivered to Lockheed Martin, who are developing a sonar imaging system to be put on submarines. So apparently the Navy likes the physical size, you know, the small size, which is always important on a submarine, and the power of the PowerPC processor, being able to do their sonar imaging. So it's kind of interesting that the defense of America now is going to rely on Apple's hands.
Yeah, pretty interesting. That's good. I suppose.
Another thing that's kind of neat is if you ever read the software licensing on almost any package, there's this little clause about that this software is not to be used in nuclear power plant. I've been trying to correct myself, and it's hard.
Well, it's hard nuclear. When the president gets it wrong, so yeah, go ahead. Nuclear.
In a nuclear plant, in hospitals, air traffic control, you know, basically we're life and death situations.
Right.
You're not allowed to use any off-the-shelf commercial software or hardware.
Right.
Because, you know, if something goes wrong and somebody dies, you know, we don't want that.
Right.
So you know, military right. and
a system crash is one thing. A 747 crash right. is something else entirely.
We can't land the plane because the computer crashed.
Right.
Of course, it's always better to be down here wishing you were up there than up there wishing you were down here.
Exactly. Exactly. Blue screen of death takes on a whole new meaning.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but the Linux people are not afraid of it, so they're moving forward. Microsoft is, for those of you who use Microsoft products, the couple of you still out there, there's the new Microsoft Installer 3.0 will be going into beta next month. It's a big step toward their goal of simplifying software patch management across their product line. Right now, Microsoft has 11 different methods of updating, of installing products across their various product lines. Eight, because we don't do Windows 95 anymore, so call it 8 different installers across their various product lines and update management and patch management. And they're not very good at patch management, and they admit that. More often than not, the latest patchwares and patches and software break the existing systems or don't get loaded or whatever that's all about. Some of the updates are hard to find. They're tough to employ. They're a pain in the patoot to manage. The Slammer virus, for example, was simply the result of unapplied SQL patches. The patches mm-hmm. were out there. People didn't know about it or they couldn't apply them. They had a hard time applying them. You got to reboot every time you apply something. If you got 25 patches to apply on a server and you got to test each one before you apply it and it's going to take the server down while you're applying it and you're in a production environment, what do you do?
Yep.
So it's very hard. They're working on a better installer. Really, nobody paid much attention in this world because a lot of people in the microcomputer world don't know what goes on in the real computer world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can install patches and test them and move them in production without anybody else ever knowing it happened and not ever rebooting the system. I do that on Linux all the time. I want to install a patch. It's a two-line command. The patch is installed. Everything keeps running. Nobody even knows it didn't happen. You know? So, and the same thing on the Mac. You can install things without and update things without taking the system down and rebooting and stuff like that. The Windows world's never been like that, and most people don't know anything else. So they, you have to reboot.
It's just standard. SOP.
It's like, well, it only crashes twice a day. I've got a pretty stable system. So they're working on that, and that's all to their credit. So we'll see what happens. They have their new SUS, this software update service, I believe it's called. And it's going to handle patches, not just updates and installation. So should be a pretty neat deal. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
I'm Chet Walker.
And I'm Mary Ellen Burris from Wegmans with a preview of the November 9th appearance by Bill Cosby to benefit the Lifetime Assistance Foundation.
Experienced beloved entertainer Bill Cosby, who's delighted audience all over the world with his wonderful gift of humor. Bill Cosby will perform at an appearance Sunday afternoon, November 9th, at the Eastman School of Music's Eastman Theater.
I met this girl, very brilliant girl. Used to walk around the house saying, "Why is there air?"
And I used to look at it. Lenny Phys Ed major knows why there's air. It's air to blow up volleyballs, blow up basketballs. You guys call me dumb for crying out loud.
Lifetime Assistance Foundation was established to serve children and adults with developmental disabilities. Please join Wegmans in supporting the presentation of the 7th Annual Inspiration Award to Bill Cosby. For ticket information, call the Lifetime Assistance Foundation at 426-4120.
Join us Sunday, November 9th, to experience Bill Cosby.
Sir, I have information here that you are a cat lover. Is that true?
No, sorry, not me.
But I have a friend who's a cat lover. Well, sir, you might want to tip your friend off to HouseCat.com. They feature a remarkable selection of gifts and accessories exclusively for cats and their owners, like cat toys, puppets, jewelry, books, videos, and much more. We're talking unique, sir.
HouseCat.com, huh? Mr. Whiskers will love that.
Sorry?
Mr. Whiskers, that's my friend.
Yes,
cat.
I see. Yeah.
His name is
Mr. Whiskers. HouseCat, unique gifts for cat lovers. See us online at housecat.com.
We share the 42 extra minutes of daylight.
I share one tee time with three older brothers.
Summer is meant for sharing and for sharing your love of crab with Endless Crab at Red Lobster. Come in today and enjoy an endless supply of all-you-can-eat sweet snow crab legs and endless chances to share every crab lover's favorite summer pastime.
We share the melted butter.
I don't. She dips.
Because it's endless crab time again, and that means all the mouth-watering crab you can eat now at Red Lobster.
Share the love.
The summer's not over yet. Your family can still have some fun without having to drive an hour away. And the Village of East Rochester is ready to help you do it.
Hi, this is David Benacci, Mayor of East Rochester. Come join the fun of East Rochester's Dispatch Days, our music and fun festival. It's this Friday and Saturday, August 8th and 9th. The fun starts Friday night at 7 p.m. with a Dispatch 5K race to our village. Sign up to run or cheer on your friends. We'll be giving away over $5,000 in prize money. It's exciting. You can enjoy food from East Rochester's best restaurants, listen to great music by Ruby Shoes, and be sure to come back Saturday night for more great food and dancing to the sounds of East Rochester's all-star band. Come rediscover the Village of East Rochester. I'm looking forward to seeing all of you there.
To get to East Rochester's Dispatch Days and Music Fest this Friday and Saturday, take 490 to the East Rochester Commercial Street exit. Stay on Commercial Street to the Technoplex Mall, where there will be plenty of parking for everyone. East Rochester's Dispatch Days and Music Fest, free admission.
This is Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM. From PCs to Macs, these guys can help with any computer question you may have. So call the boys now at 222-1180, the Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180, or *1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, once again, here's Nick Francesco.
Hi there, I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
Okay, now, we have a controversy here in the studio.
Don't even, you'll set off a whole
screen. Steve pronounced it nuclear, the presidential pronunciation.
Right.
I pronounce it nuclear, which I believe is the correct pronunciation, but Rob, you have a whole third, or as we say, the second incorrect pronunciation.
Of nuclear, N-U-C-L-E-A-R. Nuclear. Yeah.
Like a linoleum wax.
Yeah, like I had a professor last fall that if we said it wrong, we got in trouble. He said nuclear. I don't know.
Nuclear.
It's going to set up like a whole thing now.
Nuclear.
Yeah, crazy. Yeah.
Well, there's an interesting description at dictionary.com. The pronunciation nuclear is generally considered incorrect and is an example of how a familiar phonological pattern can influence an unfamiliar one. There's a lot of other words with similar endings, you know, particular, circular, specular, nuclear.
Yeah.
But that's wrong.
But they believe it's nuclear.
Yeah.
Nuclear.
It's like English class.
Three syllables.
What? Okay, I'm just saying. Phonemes. I'm just, all right, whatever.
Nuclear is a linoleum wax.
Okay.
Just so you know. We're going to go to the phones
and
now.
And I didn't get in trouble for this one.
Yeah.
You will at some point. I don't. You'll find some fourth or third
incorrect
way to pronounce
it. I'm not going there. I got myself in
here. Our first caller is Carl, patiently waiting on a cell phone. Carl, how do you pronounce nuclear?
Nuclear.
There you go. What's your question?
I have a question regarding hard disk read-write speeds.
Yeah.
I have a RAID level 5. There's six 15K RPM drives in that RAID. It's an HPNet Server 2000.
Yeah.
And the problem is, this runs a database. The problem is that the data file size is 8 gigs. If I copy that that data file from RAID to RAID, so within the RAID to itself,
yeah,
it takes an hour and 20 minutes. If I copy that same 8-gig file between the RAID and, say, an external FireWire drive,
yeah,
10 minutes.
Yeah.
If I copy it on other PCs, or I'm actually a Mac guy, if I copy it on my Mac from the hard disk to the hard disk or to external FireWire drive, 10 minutes. So the issue is, no matter how I copy it, it takes only 10 minutes except when I copy it RAID to RAID.
Sure.
And the reason why this is important is because... when you make a backup, of course, it's basically a copy of the data file. So it takes 2 hours to make a backup instead of 10 minutes. I asked my IT folks, they say, oh, well, RAIDs are slow, they're striping the data, and that's why it takes 12 times as long.
Yeah.
I think that's ridiculous.
It's supposed to be faster because it can write to more than one drive at the same time.
There's two things going on here, okay?
Yeah.
The first thing is anytime you copy a file from a disk, and a RAID array is essentially one big disk, okay?
Right.
Anytime you copy from a disk to the same disk, it takes longer because the heads are doing twice as much work.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing is that reading RAID is a lot faster than writing RAID.
Mm-hmm.
So you add those two together, and you're going to have longer copy times from RAID to RAID. Now, if you ran from one RAID array to a second RAID array,
mm-hmm,
that would be faster, although I don't know if it would be 10 minutes. It might be 20.
Sorry, we're talking about a factor of 12 here.
Yes.
You're going from 10 minutes to 120 minutes.
Yes, you are.
It's like ridiculous.
No, you're not. You're going to 80 minutes. It's a factor of 8. 1 hour and 20 minutes is 80 minutes.
It takes 2 hours. It takes 2 hours.
I thought you said an hour and 20 minutes.
No, it takes 2 hours. From 10 minutes to 2 hours. And I defragged the disk. They said there was nothing wrong with it. I defragged. It was very fragmented. That actually created a significant speed bump, but it's still ridiculously long, over an hour. And I'm wondering if there's some sort of setting I need to look into.
How much memory do you have?
It's over a gig.
Which, compared to an 8-gig file, is nothing. So what part of your problem is the buffer settings.
Buffer settings, okay.
You need more RAM,
mm-hmm,
like maybe 4 gig or 8 or 16 gig.
Right.
And then what happens is the file gets written to the buffers, and then the buffers write to the drive at their leisure.
Yes.
It could still take 2 hours, but you don't care anymore because you're done.
I see.
But without big buffers... that's where your problem comes in. You've probably got small buffers, and they're probably all dirty.
And some of the bigger hard drives are now, and more expensive hard drives are coming with 8 meg caches built mm-hmm into the hard drive.
Yep. Right.
If I copied on another PC, another Windows 2000 PC, it's not a server though, and it's just a regular IDE drive, if I copy it to the same drive, 10 minutes.
How about if you duplicate it once it's on that same drive?
That's what I mean, duplicate it. If I thought in Mac speak, I would find her copy it to another folder. And I had 10 minutes. If I copy on my Mac or another PC, 10 minutes. It's only on this RAID where it's 2 hours.
It sounds to me like this RAID drive is not
set up
optimized.
Yeah.
And I can't.
I want you to call the IT guy. Tell them.
I can't give you magic, but it's sure that sure is what it sounds like.
You know what kind of RAID controller it is?
Yeah, it's whatever comes with this HP Net Server 2000. I know. Unfortunately, I'm a Mac guy. That's a technical thing that's over my head.
If you've got the same identical hard drives, you know, whether it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of them.
Yeah.
I mean, and you get how you got your RAID set up. I mean, it should just be behind the scenes. Shouldn't have to worry about backing up anything.
Yeah. Well, but I don't have an instant answer for you on this, Carl. But I'm going to look into it.
Okay.
I don't think it should take 2 hours, but I think it should take more than 10 minutes to go RAID to RAID with only a gig of RAM.
Right. Basically, what I wanted to hear from you is that it definitely sounds weird.
Oh, yeah. It is weird.
Yeah.
But
I'm fighting these IT guys, and they're saying, oh, no, no.
Never fight the IT guys. You buy them pizza and Jolt and let them fix it.
I'll keep that in mind. I'm going to bring that in Monday morning, pizza and Jolt.
All right, there you go.
Thank you.
Sure.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Never fight the IT guys.
Right.
They are root, and they will win. Our next caller, Dan from Rochester. Welcome, Dan. What's your question?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Okay. I purchased a domain through a web hosting place, and I am trying to create an ODBC connection from, I'm using Microsoft Access.
Yeah.
I've got Windows XP on my machine, and I'm using Access 2000. Now, I'm trying to figure out how to set up a DFN so that I can link from a database on my computer to a database that I have created in that domain on my web space.
Right. Let me cut through the fog for everybody else right away here first. ODBC is the Open Database Connect. What Dan is basically trying to do here is from his PC connect to the back end of a database running somewhere else. There are programs that allow you to do that. Access is one of them. There are hundreds of others. The problem here, Dan, is that the other end has to be running an ODBC driver for you to connect to.
Well, they do have ODBC drivers on their servers because I was able to set up a DSN in my web space, you know, in my space up there with no problem. But I'm trying to figure
that's
out.
That's not an ODBC connection. What are they using? Is it Linux? Is it Windows?
Windows, yeah.
Okay, and so you have an Access database up there, for example, and it connects using a set of commands.
Right. Well, now, when I do all my work right on the server itself, like I'm using HomeSite for my creation, ASP creation and stuff, and I can reference the DSN name on that ASP page, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they have ODBC up there?
No, it doesn't necessarily mean they've opened up ODBC to outside connections. They may only allow it from the local host. That's a security thing.
I see.
You need to ask them if ODBC is installed, and if so, is it limited to localhost?
Okay.
See, the problem is opening ODBC to anybody means anybody who can connect to it.
Right.
That can cause a serious problem, security-wise. So lots of places shut off network access to the database off the main machine, network access.
I see.
So that's probably the problem, and the only people who can solve that are your hosting company. Frankly, I don't know many hosts. I don't personally know of any hosting companies that allow ODBC connections off-site.
Oh, okay.
Because there's always some jamoke out there.
It's too big of a risk.
Opening up the Pandora's box.
Yeah, because when the company I used to work for, I could do that to my heart's content. But the thing was that I was doing it, you know, from within the firewall and everything.
Exactly, and you see, there is no within the firewall on a hosting company.
Right.
So if I were them, I'd certainly limit it, and I don't think any argument would sway me.
What exactly are you trying to accomplish?
Okay, well, good, because I've been going nuts trying to figure out the right path and everything.
Yep.
And the right path is, there is no path.
You got it.
That's exactly it. It's okay. One of those Zen things. The right path is, there is no path.
Yeah, rather than doing an ODBC, you should have like a, you know, MySQL return results to a web page.
Right, and he's using ASP does the same thing, but unfortunately you're going to have to do it on the web page side. I know what you're trying to accomplish. You want to open up an Access database on your desktop and do all your manipulation of your data there, rather than having to write code to do it. I understand
right.
that, and I would love to do that myself. Unfortunately, most I don't know of a hosting company that will let you do that because of the security risk.
Okay, but it sounds like you guys are saying that that using MySQL, MySQL, that I could do that.
No. What we're saying is that most companies will limit that as well. And what you really want, you're going to have to do, whether you use an ASP or a PHP or a MySQL, whatever you're using, is you have to do it. From the server, load the commands up there and run them there and hope they work.
I see. So no matter what, I'm not going to be able to connect from my machine at home. Okay, I got you.
Sorry. We have to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and me, Nick Francesco, on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
This is Dr. Danny. Paul, you're on the air.
Hey, Dr. Danny.
Hey.
Man, listen, we're having a hard time potty training our son.
Well, that's a common problem. How old is your boy?
He's 26.
Paul, I have some bad news. At this age, potty training will be near impossible.
You're kidding me?
No, but Paul, I do have some good news.
All right, man. What?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Sound Bites, driven by Bob Johnson Chevrolet.
We know about it before it's big news. We tell you about it before it happens. You're given a heads up and able to form an opinion before you have to. You are always the first on your block to know anything and everything. If we don't talk about it on this program, trust me, you don't need to know about it.
Rush 2 till 5. Rush on Wham!
This portion of Sound Bites on News Radio 1180 WHAM is brought to you in part by Envision, delivering the bandwidth to make anything possible. To sign up for Envision Internet Service, call 262-2485.
I told my parents, like, just go to, like, bowling with them as, like, friends and stuff.
No, that's dating. Do you know your chances of getting date raped, pregnant, sexually transmitted disease, or a lot of painful bad memories are now zero because your parents have some backbone?
Dr. Laura, weekdays 9 to 11 on Wham!
News Radio 1180, WHAM, Rochester.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Get online now. Call 222-1180, the Choice 1 toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180, or *1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And we're going to go back to the phones, then we're going to talk about the polls. We're going to do all kinds of things, but we'll start with the trivia.
Yeah.
Thank you. We'll start with the trivia every week. As you know, we have a trivia question. We've already missed the whole... That's all right. It's a real easy trivia question this week. It's a real easy trivia question. I'm embarrassed to put it out there.
For anyone over 30, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. our fabulous prize every week is 2 free tickets to any Regal Cinema Theater. And apparently, it
numbed my mind. It's such a brilliant, prize. They talk in the movies now. They're in color. We just saw Seabiscuit.
How was it?
It was an adult movie. I was very excited. We actually also saw League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, which was a lot of fun, but don't expect the comic book. But Seabiscuit was truly, truly wonderful. I loved it. I loved it. Great film.
I've heard a couple of reviewers call it the best film no one's going to see.
Exactly.
And when it gets nominated for every Oscar, they'll bring it back to the theater.
I feel bad because it's been a lot of years since I've seen a movie that was actually nominated for an Oscar. I did see Chicago, so I broke a long streak. Now I believe it's going to be two because I've seen Seabiscuit, and it is phenomenal.
Cool.
All of the acting is wonderful. The writing is just top-notch. The directing and the cinematography just blew me away. It's a great film. A great film. Seabiscuit.
You don't even notice all the CGI effects.
You hardly notice any of them, as a matter of fact.
Tobey Maguire was on Leno, I think, one night, and Leno asked him if he'd ever ridden a horse before, and did he ride a horse during the movie? And he said, well, sometimes it's the horse, and sometimes you're sitting on a box bouncing up and down.
Yep.
And you can't tell the difference.
You can't. They did a great job. Today's trivia question is, which company invented the floppy disk? Which company invented... No, we don't know when.
Yes,
just
we do.
Doing? Okay.
Yes, we
which
do.
Company... Oh, yeah, we do. And what year? Oh, it's a two-parter.
Yes.
What company and what year?
What year?
All right, we have to get the year right.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the hard part. Suddenly it's become more than just an internet search. we're going to go back to the phones now, and we're going to talk to Gary, all the way from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Gary. What's your question?
All the way from Putneyville here.
Putneyville! Oh, excellent! Yeah. How are things in Putneyville?
Well, they say there's a lake here, but you can't prove it by me. I'm 100 feet away from big blank space out there.
Believe it or not, I know a gentleman that lives out in Putneyville.
Is he a gentleman?
Yes, his name is Phil Duell.
Yep, know the name.
Yep. Lived on, Hamilton Street out there?
Yeah.
So everyone went over to his house.
Yeah, everybody went over to his house because Phil's having a party. What do you got?
No, he was.
How come? What do you mean a big blank space? Is it foggy?
Yeah, it's foggy like.
Ah. Well, what's your computer question?
I got a Linux.
Thank you for the meteorological update. Now we need a computer question.
I've got a Linux problem.
Okay.
Last weekend I was doing some, HTML work on it. Went away from the computer for a while, came back, and it was just a blue screen kind of thing. No way to get out of it, so I shut it down. And when I brought it back up, I have no toolbar on the bottom, nothing. I had to go back, and I got my red hat on the toolbar finally so I could get into things, and brought Mozilla up. I can't get Mozilla on the toolbar. The toolbar in Mozilla isn't on, but I can get the header for it. My Evolution is gone, but it works because I found a site where I could mail out to another address of mine, and I received the mail.
All right. What version of you're using? Red Hat?
Yeah.
What version?
8.0 Professional.
Okay, here's what I need you to do. Man, we're not getting the easy questions today yet, are we?
Mm-mm.
Here's what I need you to do. Can you bring up, when you boot your machine, does it boot up in graphical mode?
Yeah.
Yeah, I hate that. Okay. This is going to be harder. You need to get to a terminal somehow.
What do you need?
When you say
graphic, I've got the one that has my home on it, start here in trash.
And that actually still comes up.
Yeah.
Good. Good. Click on home. Open that up. You need to be able to view all the files because you're looking for a file called. You're probably in GNOME. Yes, they pronounce the G.
No, he's in Rochester.
Yeah,
he's in Putneyville. GNOME.
Right. GNOME.
Yeah.
Yeah. You need to be. There's a folder called .gnome.
Uh-huh.
I want you to rename that to something else and then reboot. The theory here is... Oh, you did that?
No, I haven't.
Okay. The theory here is that what's happened is your preferences in the .gnome folder have been damaged. And that rebooting will... The system will say, oh, this must be the first time this is being run. Huh?
I don't see a .gnome.
Yeah, you need... It's a hidden file. That's why if you could get to a terminal, you could do that.
The other thing is if there's some sort of view menu in the, you know, like a view fold,
folder option.
Yeah. Menu option, menu choice, that would then say, you know, see all the file names.
Well, I can bring up the main menu for the thing. You know, I can bring up my system tools and all that business.
Great. Open up a terminal window.
Okay.
And then you have to type some terminal commands.
Yes, we're actually going to type some terminal commands.
Got it.
Hang on to your...
You might want to write this down instead of trying to do it live.
Though. Yeah, we can't.
I understand.
What you do is you type MV, which is short for move.
MV.
MV space dot G-N-O-M-E.
Save, S-A-V-E?
No. What? No. You type MV.
Yes.
Then a space.
Yes.
Then... dot GNOME, G-N-O-M-E, then another space,
yeah,
and call it something else, like dot GNOME dash original or something. You know, you're just renaming it.
Yeah.
Okay. Actually, you want to do something before that. Before that, you want to say CD space tilde. That's that little wavy line.
Yeah.
CD. Space tilde and hit enter. Yeah. Then type the move line.
Okay.
Move.gnome to something else and hit enter.
Yeah.
No. Now you want to close that and reboot,
okay.
And it should work.
All righty.
It's
simple, eh?
It actually is once you know the secret.
Well, here's a little tip, too, for people that are thinking of moving up to Linux or even to Mac OS X based on Unix. The period in front of a file name makes it invisible. Unix uses that for reserved files.
Oh.
We've had customers that... try to sort their work folders by putting periods. If you put a period in front of the folder name, it goes to the top of the list.
Right.
Until you boot OS X, and then the folder disappears.
Right, because OS X at heart is Unix.
Right. So this one poor woman, every time she booted OS X, all her work disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was all named with a period.
Yeah, so you can't use the period. The period is a reserved character
in
the first position.
That's right, you can change it.
So give that a try.
Change them to numbers.
Mm-hmm. There's probably a GNOME prefs he could just redo, but I don't know where that is without having a Linux box in front of me. Sorry. I apologize for that.
Well,
I just added a blank one here. That's nice. That's good for me. I'm a very clever guy. Mm-hmm. Our next caller, Warren from Penfield. Welcome, Warren. What's your question?
Hi, guys. I have Windows 98 SE, and when I receive a JPEG in the email picture, I click on it, and it comes up with a dialog box that says /windows/temporary.bmp.not found. Now, how do I? I got paint on them.
Well, I think I know what your problem is because I just had a client yesterday with the same issue. You're using Outlook Express?
Yes.
What version of Outlook Express?
6.
Did you do the update?
Yes.
Well, then the other thing you might want to check is if you go into Tools and Internet, under Tools, there's Options, and it's Security. Make sure that attachments can be viewed. If that box is checked, you're going to have to uncheck it so you can then view attachments.
One of the security features in Outlook Express 6 is to deny attachments, which could include a virus. And so the bottom line is you don't get any attachments that you want anymore.
And it says attachments and JPEGs. So go check that out and let us know.
Okay, I got another quick one.
Well, you got to hold on. We got to take a break. Stay on the line. We'll come back to you back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and me, Nick Francesco, on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Just 20 minutes from Rochester, where the car deals are the best. Mollier, Mollier, we always say yes.
Get to Mollier today and let them say yes to you. It's 0-60 time. That's right, 0% financing for 5 years, or now get up to $6,000 in rebates on almost all Chevy, Olds, and Buicks. And exclusively at Mollier, you'll get additional dollar discounts on all Chevy, Olds, and Buicks. Again, only at Mollier. Don't wait, because this deal won't be here for long, and Mollier wants to say yes to you. Plus, Mollier always has the lowest price program, cars and trucks, like a huge selection
selection of 2003 Aleros for under 10 grand. Impalas for under 10 grand. Cavaliers for less than 7 grand. Mollier.
Mollier. We always say yes.
We're dying to say yes.
Mollier. We always say yes.
It's winning time again at Batavia Downs.
Wanna bet?
Hey, the favorite horse wins 40% of the time.
Yeah.
And 75% of the time, the favorite is in the money.
Yeah.
And I listen to the Batavia Downs track handicapper. He's right 50% of the time. Remember the one night he picked 8 winners in a row?
Yeah.
Hey, we have a lot of fun at Batavia Downs with the great food and the new clubhouse. Even you could win more this season.
Wanna bet?
As a matter of fact, I do.
Races start at 7:35 Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday night.
Plus, on August 11th and 13th, it's the Western New York Idol Competition. You could win an audition for American Idol. Registration starts at 5 p.m. Finals are August 20th. Call 343-3750 for information.
Free admission, free parking, great food, great fun. If you can't get there for the fun, go to an OTP near you for the live action. We bet you're gonna win at Batavia Downs.
Soundbites, America's longest-running computer radio show, is brought to you by the Element K Learning Center, MicroWorks Direct Computers, Roadrunner Business Class, and Green Shield Computer Services. Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve is here every Saturday from 12:20 till 2 to answer any and all computer and computer-related questions. Now, back to Nick Francesco. On News Radio 1180, WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Benrick.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
Before we get back to the phones, I have to say, Gary, in Pulteneyville, New York, don't do anything until we take our next call, because I have a feeling I think we may be able to help you out here. But we're going to go back to Warren for Penfield for his second question.
Yes. An XP, is Service Pack 1 okay to download?
No.
Huh?
No.
No. Okay. No.
The only reason I say no is because, perfect. I just had a client Thursday, tried it. It depends on the hardware and software you've got loaded on that machine.
Are you using a name brand PC or a custom build?
Yeah, HP.
Go to their website for your.
Your
specific model computer, and they should have something about the XP compatibility.
Yeah. And check there first before doing it, because I've seen it mess up a number of machines.
Okay, I have another thing.
We
have a lot of other calls to get to, Warren.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
I already did two questions. Downloading.
Thanks. Pardon? Mm-hmm.
I wanted to give you a fix for downloading Windows XP. I found it on Windows bulletin board. You have to rename catroot 2 folder to catroot 2 old, and then I got my downloads. Before that, I didn't get them.
Perfect.
Okay, thank you so much.
We're going to go on to Tony calling in on a cell phone. Tony.
Dr. Francesco.
I was hoping it was you. Ladies and gentlemen, Tony Placilla, who was our guest a couple of weeks ago, our Linux guru, and I'm sure he's got the correct answer from Gary, because he's probably been laughing hysterically at whatever I said.
No, I'm not laughing hysterically. You just hit it with the very big stick, and you only need the little stick. Here's the simple thing to do, Gary. First thing, on your original desktop, go to the hat and choose log out. So you log out of your known session, and you go back to the original screen where you have to type your username and password. That's your display manager login screen. Okay? Then do Control-Alt-F2. That'll bring you to a back-end virtual session. It's just a shell prompt, and it'll ask you to log in. Log in as your user. And it'll ask for a password. Give it your password. Then you're in your home directory. Okay? Then you do cd /.gnome. Now you're in the GNOME, your personal GNOME session directory. If you do, then you do an ls/LA. There will be a boatload of files in there, but the key ones, there's one called GNOME-session. And there are a bunch of ones that say .gnome with a string of alphanumeric characters. Remove them. rm/gnome-session/.gnome*. That gets rid of the session, the stored session, and any sort of changed preferences.
that are probably corrupted in some way.
That's exactly what's happened. If he's corrupted the session, then you, after you've done that, you do an Alt, not a Control Alt, an Alt F7. That takes you back to your login screen. You should be able to log in, and you should have a default factory session.
You knew that in your head, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
You're a scary man.
Oh, and by the way, Linux World Expo last week?
Yeah.
Amazing.
I bet it was.
Oh, we got Andy so you can come and
talk. I was about to say.
Give me a call. You got my cell number, right?
Yeah, I do.
Give me a buzz.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks, gentlemen.
Thank you, sir.
What?
Sorry?
What
did you say?
He said, hello, thank you, gentlemen. I wanted to know who walked in.
Yeah, it's not us. He knows us too well.
Have a good one.
Thank you, Tony. Really appreciate it. God bless you. Good guy, Tony Placilla, ladies and gentlemen. And Gary, there's your real answer.
See,
I went at it with a huge hammer. He went at it with Maxwell Silverhammer.
Well, and if he misses that, the gentleman in Pulteney-Billy can always go up to our archives off of our webpage.
Right, and that'll be up there in a while. And
he can listen to it again.
Perfect. Remember, we're looking for the answer to the trivia question. Which company invented the floppy disk and when?
What year?
Our next caller, Brian from Fairport, New York. Welcome, Brian. What's your question?
Hey, guys. Thanks for the show.
Thank you.
I'd like to take a shot at the trivia.
Okay.
I'm going to say IBM 1971.
Very nice. You win.
Thank you. My question is...
Now, wait a minute. Did you know that, or did you look it up online?
I looked it up.
Cheap. Okay. At least you're honest about it. That's what counts.
Okay. I'm looking at it. You want to know the guy's name, too?
Yeah.
It's Alan Shugart was the head of the engineering.
That's right.
Super. And it was an 8-inch floppy.
Yep.
And it stored a massive, 50K?
Yeah, something along that line.
Yeah. Well, my question is, I used to be able to do this, and now I can't for some reason. I can do a screenshot from anywhere except for Media Player. When I paste it into Paint or Word, I can see the Media Player screen, but the actual picture screen is black.
Have you recently upgraded to a new version of Media Player?
No, I'm actually using 6.4 because I like the arrows.
I was going to say it's a security feature because they don't want you to copy the media.
Ah. No, I'm using the old one.
Are you doing the print screen or the alt print screen?
I tried both.
That's interesting. I wonder what other changes they've made in the system that would cause that to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like trying to do all of a sudden. I don't know if I did something stupid or...
Yeah, it's like trying to do a screen capture of a DVD movie playing. All you get is the chroma key. You
right.
Get the actual video.
The Snapchat key in the software,
Yeah, I'm suspecting that they did something.
Yeah.
Media player, really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Even something in the old one?
Something in the rest of the system to prevent
right,
it.
Right, right. Some sort of
other DLL cat change.
Because I don't update anything. I mean, I keep it pretty clean. I run 98SE, and I don't update anything.
Yeah, but you're running XP?
No, 98SE.
98SE. Like I say, if you've installed some other software package or anything else...
The only thing I upgraded was IE. I went to...
See, again, it could change one of the other libraries, in a DLL library... And, you know, this other program uses, because that's the whole feature of Windows, is not having to rewrite everything, just tapping into these DLLs. So if one of those DLLs got updated, it could prevent you from doing other things.
And IE could have done that?
Oh, easily.
Oh, yeah.
All right, that's probably what happened then, because it was shortly after that that I...
There you go.
Okay.
Hey, sorry.
I was wondering if I could do something gracious and donate the prize to your next caller.
Well, God bless you. How sweet is that? Thank you very much.
I'm having car troubles, and I won't be able to get out much anyway, so I'd like to just give it up.
Okay.
Brian, you're a good human being.
Thank you.
Bye. I'm always proud of our listeners, but more proud at this moment.
Well, Brian is going to have to remind us, and next time, once he does get his car problems resolved, Matt, we'll hook him up.
We'll hook him up.
Yeah.
Our next caller, who seems to have just won 2 free tickets, is Dave from Fairport. Welcome, Dave.
How you doing?
You're
good. How are you?
Tickets?
Good.
Got a question. I got JPEG files that when I save them, some of them I can see. This is on Windows XP, and some I can't see. I get a little red square with a red X that comes up. But if I take those files and send them in an email, I can see them in the preview pane, but I can't open them on the computer.
What program are you trying to view them with, or just on the desktop?
I'm a Feminine Explorer, and I double click on it. It opens Internet Explorer to view it, and I just get a little red X in the upper left corner. But if I take that same file and attach it on an outgoing email, I can see it in the preview pane.
They are JPEGs, though.
Yes, JPEG.
You could try viewing them in another program, you know, the Windows Picture Viewer or even Paint. No, Paint doesn't do JPEG, just
right.
BMPs.
Yeah, I have, like, if I do open with, there's Windows Picture and Fax Viewer.
Right, try some of the other ones. Because the little red X in IE means that it can't load the file.
Yeah.
So okay. It's something in IE, I would think. Not.
Well, if I do, like, the Windows Picture and Fax Viewer, it says no preview available.
It may well be the way it was saved, the specific JPEG itself. This is you're on Windows 98?
No, XP.
You're on Windows XP. This was a known problem in 98. I would have thought they would have solved it in XP.
Well, I got a client that has that problem. Some of his old pictures from his camera, he can sit there and view them no problem. He takes additional pictures, and they won't open up. They come up black. But yet you can go into, like, PaintShop Pro and view them.
It's got it. We'll look into this again, but it seems to me that there's a problem somewhere in the Explorer itself.
Dave, are you interested in the tickets for the movie?
What was the movie?
Any movie you want.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Okay,
hold
stay
on
in the
and
line.
Rob will get your information.
And thanks for the previous
call. Courtesy of our previous caller, Brian from Fairport.
We'll take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and Meenik Francesco on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Why are brakes so important? Something runs in front of your car. Adrenaline rushes. You hit the brakes. Hydraulic fluid is forced through the pistons. Brake pads drive against spinning rotors, bringing your car to a complete stop. Midas knows when you brake, a lot of things have to go just right. And at Midas, you can count on us to make sure everything goes right when we service your brakes. Right now, you can also count on $20 instant savings on any Midas brake service, even on our famous lifetime brakes, pads, and shoes, the last set of pads or shoes you'll ever buy. That's $20 instant savings right now from America's trusted leader in brakes, Midas. See limited warranty terms at participating U.S. shops. No cash value. Savings credited to invoice. Not valid with other offers.
Right now, get $20 off any brake service at Midas. That's right, $20 off any brake service. Not to be combined with other offers. Discount applies to invoice. Offer ends August 24th. Details at participating stores.
Hey, here's that file you wanted, Lisa.
Thanks, Rick. Hey, you've attended singles events at Rochester Info Courses, haven't you?
Yeah, several. They're a lot of fun, and I've met some great people. Why?
I saw this ad for their Moonlight May Single Mingle, and I was thinking of going.
Oh, yeah, at Longacre Farms. I'm going with a bunch of my friends.
I see here that everyone will be mingling in the Big Red Barn, and then teams of singles will navigate the amazing maze under the full moon. Do you think there'll be a lot of quality people to meet there?
Definitely. Why do you think I'm going?
Good point. I guess I'll see you guys there.
Get lost with Rochester Info Courses and hundreds of area singles under a full moon at Longacre Farms. Mark your calendar for August 9th from 6:30 to 11:30 p.m. Tickets are available in advance for $20 by calling 585-256-1960 or pay $25 at the door. Visit www.infocourses.com for more information. That's the Moonlight Maze Single Mingle. Call 256-1960 to order tickets in advance or visit www.infocourses.com for more information.
Sponsored in part by Flaherty's and Macedon.
Okay, ma'am, the J-Team is finished with your Jiffy Lube Signature Service oil change, and here's your record of everything we did.
I guess you didn't charge me for washing my windows, vacuuming, and checking my tires.
Oh, no, ma'am.
I admit I do love a man in uniform, and I love all those little extras. But
those services are included for all our customers.
Oh, sure they are. Dear, don't blame yourself. I mean, look at me.
The J-Team. They take care of your car, they take care of you. Only a Jiffy Lube, the well-oiled machine.
The doctor found polyps during my husband's colonoscopy.
I wasn't worried. I knew I'd be fine.
He was worried. You should have seen his face when the doctor called.
Doc told me I was fine, just as I thought.
I got him the new calcium supplement, Caltrate Colon Health.
A clinical trial suggests Caltrate may reduce the risk of recurrent colon polyps, a colon cancer risk factor.
Now I take Caltrate Colon Health.
Don't wait. Take new Caltrate Colon Health. Eat right and see your doctor for routine colon screenings. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA, not intended to treat or prevent any disease. Research is ongoing.
Know computers. They may not know anything else, but they know computers. They're Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray. And this is Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
You know, he's right. This is Soundbites. And I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
Before we get back to the phones, which we'll do very shortly, I want to talk a little bit about some stuff going on our website at soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y. With a Y, Francis would like me to remind you in English.
Very good.
I'll start with last. We do a poll every week. Last week's poll
was unbelievable.
Was what web browser do you use? And we had 501 people. That's 501 people answer the poll. That makes it number two on the all-time hit list. We want to thank each and every one of you. That's great responses. I love to see it. The number one answer, with 56% of the vote, no surprise, Internet Explorer, followed by ballot stuffing for Safari, with 15% of the vote, 14% of the vote, followed by Mozilla with 12%, Netscape with 8%, Opera with 5%, something else with 3%, AOL with 2%, Galleon didn't get any, Conqueror didn't get any. Oh, no, Galleon got 2%, Conqueror got 2%, Lynx got 1% vote. That was me, number 500. I was number 500. I was I did it actually from my Lynx system. So that was kind of nice. We want to thank all of you. It was great. 501 votes. That's tremendous. This week's poll, of course, we do this one every year. How long have you been listening to Soundbites? And you can pick any range up to all 14 glorious years. So far, we've got 104 votes. We'd like everybody who listens in to vote for that one. And after you do, please go to our companion website. Or maybe I should think of Ask Nick as Soundbites is the companion website to Ask Nick. Anyway, it's Ask
Which
Nick.
Which one did you start first?
Right. 14 years, it's not a contest. AskNick.com, that's AskNick.com. And you can leave your opinion online. We've got 17 of them so far. Some of them actually relate in some small way to the actual poll question, which is kind of exciting, interesting, and different. So please join us online for all that stuff. While you're there, please take advantage of all the other cool stuff on our website. Dave has put up a basic PC configuration page if you're looking to buy a new PC. He has a series of tips, brand new tip every week. We have an online calendar if you're a member of a user group. If you're the calendar keeper for a user group, give us a call. We'll give you a username and password so you can get into the system. Moody Blues 100 brings us a bunch of secretly recorded calls. We have movie posters. Well, he and Mars Guy 33 are doing most of them. Movie posters, the logo, all kinds of. We have the show cam. We'll have a new feature next week on cameras. We promise you. And in the meantime, speaking of Moody Blues 100,
I want to make an announcement before we go back to the phones.
Okay.
In addition to Soundbite celebrating its 14th anniversary, Apple Cider is celebrating our 25th anniversary as a user group in town.
Whoa!
And
I am old.
Thank you, Rob. And next month, actually next week is our August meeting. We're going to be talking about some of the things that were announced at the Developers Conference, including OS 10.3, codename Panther.
All those people who went out and bought Jaguar stuff.
Well, that was a year ago.
Now they can throw it away and buy Panther stuff.
Upgrade to Panther.
Yeah.
But what we're really excited about is next month, September 10th.
My birthday.
Nick's birthday. We have very special guest Steve Wozniak coming in to speak to us.
I am astounded.
Yep. Apparently it was pretty easy. We just called him and asked him. And he said, okay.
That's the way Woz is.
That's the way Woz is, yeah. But we are surprised on how much airfare is from San Jose to Rochester.
Yeah, I bet.
But September 10th.
Now, is he going to be here to do the show?
Probably not Soundbites.
Excuse me?
We'll have to rearrange. Actually, that might work. If we get him to stay over a Saturday, the airfare cuts in half.
Tell him we'll bring him the soundbites, yeah, and we'll give him the show, man. We'll just open the phones, the mics, and let him talk for 2 hours.
We're going to be meeting at MCC. They have a nice auditorium for us with plenty of parking. There will be a nominal admission fee to help cover some of the expenses. And there'll be more information coming up on the Apple Cider website at applecider.org.
And, of course, it'll be on our website on the calendar.
September 10th, Apple co-founder Steve Wozniak.
And what day is that?
Wednesday.
It's a Wednesday. See, that's why. Maybe we'll talk to Jeff and do a special
Broadcast sound bites from the Cider Show.
Wouldn't that be nice? Anyway, we're going to go back to the phones now. We're going to talk to our very own, much beloved and very wacky, Moody Blues 100. Hello. You there?
How you doing?
Excellent. How are you?
Okay. One question. What was the answer to the trivia question?
IBM.
Did you get the name of the person?
Alan yeah. Shugart.
That's not what I found online.
Really?
Yoshiro Nakamatsu in 1950, and he sold the license to IBM.
Oh, no kidding.
Interesting.
See, I had 1971 Alan Shugart.
Okay.
How interesting.
Actually, I typed in invented floppy disk in Google, and... This link was one of the first few that came up.
Maybe he was the concept and IBM was the first practical implementation.
That's possible.
Oh, man, I didn't know we'd have controversy on the trivia question. All right.
Oh, I'm just a big troublemaker.
Yes, you are. Are you local or are you still down in New Jersey?
Oh, I'm still down in Jersey.
What could be more fun than that?
That's a good question.
I know you got a list.
Absolutely. I could ask you guys about a dozen questions.
Moody, whereabouts in Jersey are you?
Bergen County.
What exit?
It's about a half an hour, 40 minutes out of New York City.
Okay, I was going to say, from Jersey City, how far?
From where?
Jersey City?
About a half an hour, 40 minutes from Jersey City.
That's where my friend Harry Legg is.
It's actually about 10 minutes from the New York border, Rockland County.
Okay.
Oh, there you go. Okay. And what's your question?
My question, well, Dave may be familiar with my ongoing saga with my video card.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the latest was that I had decided to put a new power supply in.
Mm-hmm.
I called Gainward up just for the heck of it, and they said, send the card back. They'll send me a new one.
Yep.
Came the other day. Put it in yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Computer worked for about 4 hours. When I tried booting this morning, nothing. Can't boot to a floppy, put my old video card in, and same thing. And I'm wondering, well, I'm hoping you're not going to give me the answer that I'm thinking it might be, but what do you think my problem might be?
Does it start with an M?
Do you, you've already done the P, the power supply, right?
I switched out the power supply. I put an Antec 350-watt power supply in.
Okay, so...
And I had my old video card in working for about a week and a half the new power supply. And the new video card worked, like I said, 4 hours last night. I had reboot a couple of times last night. But then this morning when I tried to go online, the computer wouldn't boot.
I'm thinking it's either the R word or the M word.
All right, here's one other thing you can do, Moody, is excuse me, take the cover off
or the F word.
And unhook the controller.
The cover off, the cover never goes on.
All right, that's good. Then unhook your controller cables for both your floppy and your hard drives.
And the CD drive.
And CD drive, right off the motherboard. So you unhook those three connectors, take out any other additional cards.
So go to bare a system as well.
Right. All you want in there is literally just the motherboard, the keyboard, mouse hooked up, and the video card. And see if you can get it to boot there. I have seen bad CD-ROM drives also cause the system not to boot or hang. So what you got to do is play detective here, and if you can get it to boot with just a bare, then from there you can start adding things. Otherwise, if it doesn't do it with that, yes, you're probably looking at the word motherboard.
That's kind of where I was thinking, but is it possible that...
Even if you've got multiple sticks of memory, also play that game. Just take them all out except one and try rotating them around to see where your issue might be.
Yeah,
I've got two 256.
Yeah, take one out. Other thing to do is if you go through all this hoofra and it boots and boots and boots and boots or all the way up, but you're not really satisfied... check the RAM. You go to memtest86.com and download that RAM tester.
But he can't even get
it.
Well, that's what I said. If you can get to the point where it'll boot, but you're still not satisfied with whatever results you end up with, my suggestion is you try that. But it's going to be either RAM or motherboard at this point.
That's what I was afraid you guys were going to tell me.
Sorry. Sorry.
We didn't always claim to be the bearer of good news.
That's right.
Oh, well.
Sorry.
All right.
Does this mean we're not going to have any more sounds for a while?
Well, I do have my computer at work, but most of my little clips of you guys talking is on the other computer.
All right, we'll wait with bated breath. Hurry up and fix it, will you?
Actually, you should have told me you were going to talk about ME last week as much as you did. I would have waited on that Twilight Zone clip a little bit.
Well, you know, you can't have too many ME clips, I always say.
Oh, there you go. I'll think of something else to do with it.
Okay, thanks.
All right, take care. Bye.
Have fun. For those of you who don't know, Moody Blues 100 is one of our stalwart posters in the forums. He is also the instigator and one of the mainstays of the... In fact, he's the only person who has a page named after him on our website. The Moody Blues page of secretly recorded phone calls. He and Mars Guy 33 are the two main instigators, but many people have taken clips, audio clips from the show, and created their own sets of calls, and some of them are just rib-splitting funny. So you should check those out on our website, soundbites.org.
But just before we go to break, I want to say hello. My nephew, Ryan Enright, is just home from Iraq.
God bless you,
so,
Ryan. Thank you.
Picked up here, and yeah,
let me be among the first to say thank you.
We're having a big picnic tomorrow for him.
Good for you.
You get to see him and his pitchers.
Yep.
Suppose he's got an Iraqi tank pitcher.
Oh, a pitcher. Now you didn't bring actually home.
No, he wasn't able to bring it home.
Sure.
But he's home, and I wanted to, again, thank him very much for him and the rest of the troops out there that are doing
exactly. God bless each and every one of you. We are grateful every day. We're going to take a quick break back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
The M&T Bank Broadway season of classics is just the ticket for great entertainment. See five great Broadway shows by getting your season tickets now. 2003-2004 season ticket packages include four classic Broadway smash hits and one blockbuster newcomer. Hairspray. Eight Tony Awards in 2003 makes Rochester one of its first tour stops. A brand new Broadway production of the legendary hit musical 42nd Street. The classics continue with the emotional drama of Les Miserables. Tim Rice and Andrew Lloyd Webber's record-breaking musical Jesus Christ Superstar. And the Rodgers and Hammerstein classic The Sound of Music. Become a season subscriber today. Order your tickets by calling 222-5000 and experience the magic of live theater. The M&T Bank Broadway season is presented by Rochester Broadway Theater League and Albert Nocciolino.
Sound Bites, driven by Bob Johnson Chevrolet.
Here's Dr. Schwedfeger from Village Smiles.
In business as well as socially, first impressions really do count. Does your smile reflect the level of perfection that you want to impress at the interview for a new job? We at Village Smiles can create your beautiful new smile in as few as two visits. We invite you to join our practice and see why thousands of families have enjoyed our personal service and attention for over 20 years.
Call Village Smiles today to schedule a free cosmetic consultation with Dr. Schwedfeger. Call 385-2033 or on the web at villagesmiles.com.
When Brian and Amy decided to sell their home, someone was there to make sure that things went smoothly. Someone was there to help them see it through a buyer's eyes. Someone was there to help price it, show it, close it. And when Brian and Amy found the house they wanted to buy, someone else helped them get through that process just as smoothly.
Congratulations, we did it.
If you're thinking about selling your home, work with someone who work with you. We're realtors. Real estate is our life. Only realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
This portion of Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM is brought to you in part by Envision, delivering the bandwidth to make anything possible. To sign up for Envision Internet Service, call 262-2485.
I'm Chet Walker.
And I'm Mary Ellen Burris from Wegmans with a preview of the November 9th appearance by Bill Cosby to benefit the Lifetime Assistance Foundation.
Experienced beloved entertainer Bill Cosby, who's delighted audience all over the world with his wonderful gift of humor. Bill Cosby will perform at an appearance Sunday afternoon, November 9th, at the Eastman School of Music's Eastman Theater.
I met this girl, very brilliant girl. Used to walk around the house saying, "Why is there air?" And I used to look at it. Lenny Fizz Ed major knows why there's air. There's air to blow up volleyballs, blow up basketballs.
guy's called me dumb for crying out loud.
Lifetime Assistance Foundation was established to serve children and adults with developmental disabilities. Please join Wegmans in supporting the presentation of the 7th Annual Inspiration Award to Bill Cosby. For ticket information, call the Lifetime Assistance Foundation at 426-4120.
Join us Sunday, November 9th, to experience Bill Cosby.
Contact the guys the old-fashioned way. Use your telephone and dial 222-1180 or the Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180 or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Welcome back to Soundbites with Nick Francesco on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Inrett.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. We are going back to the phones now, and we're going to talk to Sean from Howie, New York. Welcome, Sean. What's your question?
My question is, we received a scanner. I have a scanner. It's a Kodak scanner. It's old. I don't think we received all the software with it. And the only program I can open up, whatever I scan with, is Microsoft Picture It. I'd like to be able to get things into Word, like documents. It came with a program called, I'm not sure what it's, Carrier OmniPage, I think was the program.
Right, Carrier OmniPage, right. Mm-hmm.
That's, yeah. That's an OCR program, and it turns a picture of text into actual text.
Yeah, I'm missing that. I tried a couple resources to get it, and I can't get it.
Have to go to a store and buy it.
Okay.
Yeah. Unfortunately, what happens is usually when they send out a product like a scanner, they include enough software to make it usable, but all of that is what's usually called light versions of the software. It doesn't have all the features.
Mm-hmm.
So you would have been okay with that to do minimal things, but the point here is they want you to at some point go out and buy the real thing.
And if you don't have the original disc anyway.
Right. In this case, you have to go out and buy the original.
Well, you could also put a message out there because, I mean, I don't think it'd be breaking any laws. If you do post a message out there, see if anybody else has that model and could make you a copy of that CD. Because,
okay,
I mean,
I
you're not going to break any license agreements because that software will only work with those scanners.
Right.
So, you know, it's not like, you know, I'm telling you to, you know, do something really illegal or, you know, breaking any laws in that aspect. Because
that's Dave Enright, ladies and gentlemen, speaking now.
You're getting the software and drivers for that particular product. They have no, you know, if I passed it on to somebody else that has a Canon scanner, it's not going to do them any good.
It's
okay.
Possible you could also go to Kodak and get replacement discs, but not likely.
Yeah.
Okay.
Especially since you can buy a brand new scanner with all the software included for $50. It's hard to sell the old stuff anymore.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay. Thank you very much, guys.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Sorry we couldn't be more help, but, you know, without that actual disc, that makes it hard. Our next caller, DJ in Fairport, New York. Welcome, DJ. What's your question?
We have a CD burner that we installed on our computer, and it seems not to be able to read any of the disks we put in it, but we've uninstalled it and reinstalled it, and it's just we can actually open the disk drive from the computer, but it doesn't read anything.
Is it actually being seen? What version of Windows are you running?
98.
All right, second edition?
Yes.
Okay. When you click on my computer, do you see the CD there?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, because she said they can open it. So
well, no, button, yeah, I mean button, you can push a button and open it.
Oh, you meant open it on the desktop?
Yes.
Yeah. But it doesn't. It doesn't see. Is this was a brand new CD burner?
It was brand new. Yes. Yeah. We used it for about 3 months, and then it just stopped working.
Oh, you see, you're hiding stuff from us, DJ.
No.
That's not good.
I'm sorry.
It's gone south on you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, take it back. It should have a 1-year warranty on it.
Okay.
You can probably, if you open your case up, make sure the cables are all in the right direction and tight just to be safe.
Yeah.
The door will open if the power cable's installed.
Yeah, that's all you need there.
If the data cable's not correctly installed or installed tight at both ends, then it wouldn't recognize any disks.
Right. What we sometimes see is that the cable that connects it, there's two of them. One is a little one with a plastic, big white plastic connector on the end. That's the power. And then the other one is a ribbon cable. It's a flat cable. mm-hmm. with it's usually gray with a little gray connector on the end, long gray connector. That's the data cable. Now, that can sometimes work itself loose. So one end is still connected and the other end is disconnected.
It's got to be in there and flat mm-hmm. across.
Right. If one end is, if the right end is still, if the correct end is still connected, then it'll know the drive is there. But if the other end being disconnected means it can't read or write any data.
So okay. double-check your cable. Because quite often what happens is if that's going to another drive, they can be stretched, and they don't usually give you a lot of cable, pretty thin, that it could even walk itself off of the motherboard.
Okay.
So trace that whole cable out.
Yeah, both ends.
Great. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you very
okay.
much.
Bye.
A friend of mine sent me one of those little credit card CDs with a bunch of stuff on it. Mm-hmm. I stuck it in the old pictures of when we were kids, pictures of him. We built an observatory in his backyard, a real observatory, huge observatory. And they have a picture, you know, he's got pictures of them dropping beans on my head, which explains a lot about me. But I put this little CD in. I got a 52X drive. I put the CD in, I close the door, I start to look at the pictures. All of a sudden I realize there's this humming noise. In the room. I took the disc out, stopped. Put it back in.
Spinning so fast.
Yeah, exactly. That scared me.
Another trick on those odd-sized CDs, the small ones and odd-sized, do not use them in a slot-loading drive.
Oh, absolutely not.
You must have a tray. Otherwise, you'll likely destroy your drive.
Right.
We had another CD shatter on it.
Yeah,
and I put it all in the envelope, so I got it up front for folks to see, and they go, "What'd you do? Drop it or step on it?" No, this shattered in a CD drive while we're loading it.
Yeah,
get out. So,
how fast did you drive?
It was a 52X.
See, that's what I have, and I heard this thing go, ooh, and I thought, you know what? I copied all the files to the hard drive and popped that sucker out.
And the CD I've been using for a few years.
Yeah, no. Oh man, that's hard. That's hard. Our next caller is Jim, who's not actually from anywhere. Jim, where are you from?
I'm Manchester. I got an answer for one of the questions.
Excellent.
You guys have trouble with his pictures?
Yeah.
Anywhere he can bring it up to see it, right-click on it, go to Properties. It's probably showing as a hidden file. It's probably checked.
Oh.
Otherwise, he can't see it. He has to go find a place where, when he downloads it, that it puts it automatically in a hidden file. If he can go there, find it, and fix that, and you shouldn't have any more problems.
Good idea.
That's brilliant. That's brilliant, Jim. So, Dave, over in Fairport, right-click on the file, see if it's a hidden file. That's a very clever idea.
On the picture, right.
Yeah.
Wherever you can bring it up.
Yep.
Thank you.
And check it.
That's very clever. Thank you, Dave. Or, Jim, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it.
Love your show.
Thank you. Love to hear that. Our next caller, Phil, also not from anywhere. Where are you from, Phil?
Batavia, I guess.
Okay, we didn't mean to ask you a tough one.
Rob ran out of room on his paper.
That's right. Hey, I also got a computer answer real quick.
Oh, great.
With a Windows computer that has problems, sledgehammer therapy works every time.
Sledgehammer therapy.
Yes.
You will behave or I will reprogram you with a very large axe.
Steve and I love those type of folks because after they do that damage, then they bring it on into us to really fix up.
Right.
No, it's a Mac, but that's beside the point.
Then we try to sell them a new one, yeah.
My real question is, do they make a device for my dad's going to get a newer computer, and he doesn't want to buy the newer peripherals with it. We got a scanner and a printer. We're using the old 80-bit serial ports instead of USB. Do they make a device which you can put that into a USB?
There
like
are
kind of a splitter or something.
There are adapters. There's ADB to USB adapters, SCSI to USB. It's sort of a hit and miss whether they work or not with mm-hmm. your specific devices. But yes, the adapters are made. Belkin is one of the big companies that makes a lot of the adapters. Griffin makes several different ones. But yeah, they can. The other issue is the cost of the adapter is about as much as a new peripheral would be, too.
Yeah.
There's usually $30, $40 a piece for each adapter.
And that's to take a gamble to see if it is actually going to work.
Working.
And once you've bought it, that's it.
Okay, we are done for another week. I want to apologize to each of you to whom we did not get. I want to thank everybody who called in. I want to thank all 501 of you who answered last week's poll. And I also want to thank all 115 of you who so far answered this week's poll. Check us out on our website, soundbites.org. We will see you next week right here on Soundbites for Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton.
And the Rob Cam.
We'll have a Rob Cam next week here on Soundbites. For those of you who love the cam, we had the regular cam, and now we're going to have the... How come Rob gets his own... Can we share.
Apparently.
All right, anyway, we're Soundbites on 1180 WHJM.
Where will you be the next time your allergy strikes? Inside? Outside? In your car? Now you can take non-drowsy allergy medicine right when you need it. Announcing Quick Dissolving Allivert. It starts dissolving the instant it touches your tongue without water. Allivert is prescription-strength, non-drowsy, 24-hour relief. Even Claritin can't beat. New Quick Dissolving Allivert. Allergy medicine right when you need it, wherever you are. Use as directed.
Do you feel like your debt problems are beyond help? Now there's a nonprofit organization that can help you significantly reduce your monthly payments. It's called Ameridebt. Ameridebt can help reduce or even eliminate your interest rates, and they'll consolidate your bills into one lower monthly payment. If you have more than $2,000 in debt, call Ameridebt now for a free debt consultation. Not available in all states, call 1-800-365-4205. That's 1-800-365-4205.
Rochester's most listened to radio station, period. 50,000 watt news radio 1180 WHAM. Rochester.